Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You look around you, even in this year of such strangeness, and you see the lights, and you hear the commercials, and you listen to the songs on the radio, and you know that Christmas is coming. Or maybe it isn't. The Advent season is meant to remind us in the church that there may be no Christmas this year, and not because of COVID, but because Christ may well come back before then. While the world around us focuses on worldly things, Christians spend these weeks prying our eyes off of earthly things and turning them to Christ's advent at the end of time. Time which is quickly flying away. In order to keep us looking heavenward, in order to keep us from focusing on earthly things too heavily, and to keep us focused instead on Christ's return, Jesus spoke to his disciples during Holy Week and gave them a number of signs to watch for, letting them know that his coming was just around the bend. Let's begin with the signs mentioned in Luke's gospel that you heard this morning. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Do you remember seeing in the news all the reports this year of near misses from asteroids, some which were known ahead of time, some which seemed to have come and gone, and nobody even realized that it was somewhat close to hitting. What's interesting, at least. You've watched Jupiter and Saturn move together across the sky over the summer. Now they're further in the west. And if you've heard the news, they're supposed to come together into one giant Christmas star close to Christmas time, something that hasn't happened in some 800 years. That's interesting. Sun spots, solar flares, solar and lunar eclipses, all these things have been happening. Whether greater signs than these will appear in the heavens, or whether these are the signs that Christ was referring to, signs are already there. We do well to pay attention to anything out of the ordinary up in the heavens as a sign of Jesus' coming. Or he says, on the earth there will be distress and anxiety among the nations, and the sea and the waves will roar, and men will lose heart from fear and dread of the things that are coming on the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. I know I haven't been around as long as some of you here, but I have never in my life seen such distress, such anxiety, fear, and dread among the nations as I have in the past 9 months. Not isolated incidents here and there, but anxiety accompanied by mass delusion and irrational fear on a global scale that impacts the basic functions of everyday life because of the pestilence or the disease, which Matthew lists among the signs of the end. Spreading disease has always been with us, but never in human history has the reaction of the world been this fearful and perhaps this arrogant in the face of it. Let's mention the rest of the signs that St. Matthew had already written about in his gospel before Luke published his. Many will come in my name, Jesus says, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Well, everyone who has come claiming to represent the Christian gospel, but actually misrepresenting the Christian gospel, fits this bill, from the Pope to the televangelist. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Heard of North Korea or China or Iran or Syria or ISIS or the rumors of the impending civil war that we could face in this country? And yet, in spite of all that, Jesus stirs up courage in his disciples. He says, "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." Now it may be that the signs will become even more obvious and things will get even worse in the world leading up to Christ's return. Or, may God grant it, things are already bad enough to hasten his arrival. Because honestly, which of the signs that Luke or Matthew talked about is not taking place around us at this very moment, or which has not already taken place? The leaves are surely budding on the fig tree. The winter is almost over. The summer is almost here. "When you see these things happening," Jesus says, "you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all this takes place." Now, that last phrase, "this generation," we talked about in Bible class, it actually has three possible meanings. This generation, as Jesus uses it here, could refer to the Jewish people as a people. That's how Luther understood it, that the people of the Jews would continue to exist as a distinct people until Christ comes again, and so they do. Or this generation could refer to humanity itself. The human race will continue to exist on earth until Christ comes. We won't completely destroy ourselves or be wiped out before then. Or this generation could refer to the people who were alive at that time. And if we look back in history, we can see that all the signs Jesus mentions here were already taking place in the first century, which would mean that the signs were always meant to repeat themselves throughout history as constant signals for Christians to look up and be ready whenever the bridegroom appears. Regardless, when you see any of the signs Jesus foretold, when these things begin to happen, he says, "look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near." And we say, yes, but the signs themselves are already so disheartening. The turmoil in society touches our lives too and makes it often miserable to live in this world. The Lord knows that. He sympathizes with us in our weakness and in our distress. And if this earthly life were the whole story, what we live here, if that were everything there is, with all its unfairness, with so many things that don't go right, then despair would probably be appropriate. But all the tragedy and turmoil, all the sins committed by us and against us, all the miserable consequences of sin that affect us and hurt us are passing away and will be replaced by something so much better, by your redemption in the fullest sense. Already, Christ has redeemed you from sin, death, and the power of the devil by paying the redemption price of his own precious blood shed on the cross for our sins. Already, he has claimed you in holy baptism and forgiven you for your part in the mess humanity has made of this creation. But look up at the signs Jesus talked about and see them for what they are. They're reminders that the redemption of your bodies is coming soon too. They're indicators that prepare the way for Christ to come and put an end to this suffering here. But to reach that day in faith, you have to put up with some misery here. That's okay. It's to be expected. The danger for Christians is not the misery. It's the mindset that views earth as our home. Home is where the heart is, they say. The danger is for your heart to be here. For your heart to be set on living a nice, comfortable, if not luxurious, earthly life. For your heart to be set on the fulfillment of earthly goals and the indulgence in earthly pleasures. What are we all longing for after 9 long months of COVID madness? Well, we're longing for a return to normal, aren't we? But there's a danger in that. That normal American middle class, quiet, comfortable life can become just as much of a god to us as any statue of Baal. Hear Jesus' warning at the end of today's gospel. Be on your guard, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly, for it will come like a snare upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. You see, for as vivid as the signs are that Jesus gives us, they won't be recognized as signs of his coming by the non-believing world. Only Christians, waiting and watching Christians who are paying attention, will be ready, living in daily contrition and repentance and longing for Christ to appear. So, Jesus says, always watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray. The God who became incarnate and who loved you all the way to the cross now calls on you to watch and pray in these times, to set your sights beyond the pleasures of everyday life on earth and beyond the misery that accompanies this life on earth, and to watch for his coming and for the much better life he'll bring with him. And pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things, not to escape all trouble. No one living on earth will escape the signs leading up to Christ's coming, but to escape the desperate despair and distress and anxiety. To escape the unbeliever's fear and dread of the things coming on the world. To escape the impenitence of hearts that love our lives here so much that we're unwilling to lose them for Christ's sake. Pray that you may escape those things. Pray that you may escape being surprised by the Lord's coming and the unpreparedness that leaves one living in sin and devoid of faith, and thus ripe for judgment together with the perishing world. Watch and pray, and don't forget to look up and hope. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.